Hunt, hunt, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So much reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. Liss is more. We will get to some of that reaction as the show rolls on. But I did see one person say that it is pricing arrogance. So we could add that to the list.
Hold, please. All right, pull it up here.
Jason Wilde joining us now to talk a little green and gold. Good morning, Jason.
Hi. How's everybody doing today?
Did you hear Chewy's getting ripped off?
No, but I'm sorry to hear that. Because
thanks, buddy.
It's tough to find good people to put lights on your palm trees. I get it.
Well, Gabe's dad, who did a little bit of investigating, said you can wire an entire house for $25,000.
Yeah, he can do that around here for that price, yes.
Jeez. So we do have a lot of people suggesting that maybe you just fly Keith down.
Yeah, it turns out, yes. Which are you still delinquent, Jason?
I am. I have the check. It's sitting on my desk. I'm ready to send it out.
Are you still delinquent, Jason?
I'm going to start telling him to start charging you juice on this, Jason. This is outrageous.
Collection. Son / collection agent.
I feel like there's a tradesies that's occurring here. Maybe you could use Chew as the muscle for your dad's company, and your dad could do the palm trees for Chew. It could be a bit of an exchange.
I mean, my dad is going up north. My dad's going up north to do a job for a buddy of his, and the buddy's paying gas, Chew. So, you know, price is right.
Your parents need a vacation? Stay at the house for a week. I'll buy the material. All he's got to do is put it in.
All right. Hey, again, but everything's negotiable, Chew.
Are you going to be naked in the pool? You could take a week off.
Would that increase or decrease?
Jason! Who has a better chance at getting a head coaching job next year, Stenovich or Halfley?
Halfley. But I love the fact that Steno, I actually saw him at one of Sydney's basketball tournaments. Steno's daughter plays, they're in the same grade. One of my favorite pictures I've ever taken is of Sydney ending up getting switched onto his daughter. And obviously Steno, former NFL offensive lineman, he's about 6'5". Obviously, I'm not 6'5". So Sydney gets switched onto his daughter, and it is like Muggsy Bogues trying to defend Manute Bol. So we were talking, and I just love the fact that he got some interviews because, you know, how offensive linemen more often than not are not thought of as innovative, smart guys. They don't get a lot of head coaching looks. Certainly the offensive line coach is not the usual direct path to an opportunity like that. And he had a couple of head coaching interviews, and I think that's great because, you know, let's talk about how innovative he is. You know who the coach is who came up with the Tucker Kraft sneak? Adam Stenovich. Wasn't Matt LaFleur, wasn't anybody else. And so I think, you know, it's great that people are starting to recognize that this guy, you know, has some pretty good ideas and is at least worth having a conversation with. That's how you get your foot in the door. Now, that said, it's not that Jeff Halfley is so far and away a better coaching candidate than Steno is, in my opinion, that I answered that quickly. It's the fact he's been a head coach before at some crappy East Coast school. I can't remember which one it was. But that matters, right? You've done it before. People that are hiring are always going to look at that. So if their defense plays at an even higher level this year than it did last year, I find myself wondering if it'll be not one and done, but two and done for Jeff Halfley. And then, you know, then the Packers would potentially face the same challenges that the Lions are facing this year, where they're replacing both coordinators, and we have to wait and see how that impacts how good that team is and how good of a coach Dan Campbell is without two guys that were head coaching candidates themselves.
But Jason, do you think Hackett and Getsy hurts him? Because Hackett was god-awful.
Yeah.
And Getsy has had two OC jobs in 2 years and has been fired from both. Do you think that hurts him?
Great point. I don't know if he should be held responsible for that. The one thing I would add is that those guys had Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, they were in Green Bay. And so, as opposed to Steno, who did have – what year did years fly by now. Hackett was the Broncos head coach in 2022.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
15 games.
Mm-hmm.
So Steno was the offensive coordinator with Rodgers as the quarterback for only that 1 year. And so his last 2 years have been as the offensive coordinator with Jordan Love. So if you were interviewing him, you wouldn't be saying, well, maybe this guy is a product of having Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback.
Jason, I think for interest to having even be in Halfley, the Packers have to improve the pass rush. They didn't add anybody, so they're and counting on a lot of internal improvement. Lucas Van Ness has been out. He's been talking. Do they have a plan? I mean, because I keep hearing, we're expecting big things, big, you know, year 2 to 3 leap for Lucas Van Ness, which sounds good, but I'm more curious in the, okay, how is he going to make a jump from being relatively unproductive to being somebody you can count on?
So I wrote about him last night, and I have to admit that some of the things he said on the Pewaukee tour stop made me think, maybe there's something to this, okay? And here's why. One, he broke his thumb last year, which I knew, but I guess, maybe this is my being an old guy bias now from having covered the team dating back to the Chewy era where you played. How many games did you miss with your plantar fasciitis? Like, guys played everything.
Yeah, I got hurt in the Kansas City game, missed Dallas. Oh, I missed Dallas and St. Louis and was back for Denver. So two and a half weeks.
When I think back to when I started covering the league, guys played through everything. And the idea of a broken thumb being an issue, you know, I've covered quarterbacks who've played through it, offensive linemen with club casts on their hands, et cetera. Well, Lucas, I thought, made a pretty good argument about how it affected him. Like, first of all, he is not where he needs to be from a technique and fundamental standpoint. And when you're playing with a broken thumb on your right hand, that makes it even harder to be good fundamentally, right, as a pass rusher with your hands. Secondly, he said that the coaches, because it was his right hand, they wanted to line him up on the right side so it would be his outside hand. And so, you know what that means? It means you're going against left tackles all the time. So he wasn't flip-flopping either side. Now, you could sit here and go, well, does that mean that Rashawn Gary was going against right tackles more times and he should have been even more productive than he was? Maybe.
I didn't think about that, Jason. That's a really good point, Jason.
but the fact of the matter is that I thought he made a decent case. And when I look at him, you know, and Tausch said this right away when they drafted him. This guy's strong as a bull. They call him Hercules, all this great stuff. But in the NFL, man, bull rushers who are used to overpowering, you know, the pipsqueak right tackle from Rutgers or Northwestern who aren't going to play in the league, they can't do that in the NFL. Mm-mm. And he was a little one-trick pony-ish for his first 2 years. Came into the league young, had only played 2 years as a true freshman and a true sophomore at Iowa. Like, all those things factor in, right? Now, all that said, he may just be a bad pick, right? He may not just be any good. So I acknowledge that, but I have kind of come around to the idea of at least giving him some grace and saying, hey, maybe he does pop this year for all those reasons.
Jason, before we let you go, any update on Jair? I know Pete did a mailbag and somebody asked him about Jair's situation as well. And is there any chance they just end up keeping him just to keep some stability at that position? What are you hearing on the Jair sweepstakes?
So, you know, I told you guys the story about talking to somebody in the works in the building and how they had been very adamant that he's still a really, really good football player, to which I said to them, when he plays. And the guy acknowledged, yeah, hey, you're right, Jason. That's fair. But I feel like, and this is just my vibe, I feel like that every day that passes and they start to realize, hey, we're probably not going to get anything for him, I wonder if that wears away some of Goody's resistance. Like, yeah, I don't want to go. I've seen this movie twice already. I don't want to go to it a third time. Unlike Just a Bit Outside, which I'm going to watch on constant loop on Roku today. But I wonder if he starts to come around to the idea of, hey, maybe we should give this one last try. I still don't believe it'll happen. I still don't believe he will be a Packer. But it's almost like, you know, the yodeling guy on The Price is Right, the game where he keeps going up and up and up and up, and then he drops off the edge if you go too far. I feel like there's this, like, tiny little incremental yodeling-hee-hoo of him staying. And it may be only at, like, 10 or 11%, but with every passing day, it goes up, like, 0.1%. And, of course, that'll mean that later today they'll trade him.
Yeah, that is how that usually works out. Mm-hmm. Jason, we appreciate you. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again very soon.
All right, good luck with those palm trees. Say hi to Keith. Take care. Be good.
I just want to light some palm trees. You guys know that song, right?
No.
Yes, no. You do.
No.
Yes, you do.
If I did,
I would join singing.
Yeah.
So singing. So singing is in today. Josh, do I have a read today? Anyone want to throw me a read?
I bet our loyal listeners know that song.
What song is it?
It's like Santa Monica or something like that. You know, I'm good. I'm good for 75%,
you know.
Joshy. 75%.
So you don't even know the song.
Yes, I do.
What's the name of it?
We could sit beside the ocean, leave something behind.
Oh, kind of a little.
I'm familiar. Swim out past the breaker.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that song.
Okay.
That's the
song. I don't know if that's what you were singing.
I just want to see some palm tree. I can't believe you guys don't know that song.
I just said
light, since that was relevant to the situation at hand. We'll take a break. Craig Carmazin's going to come up in just a few minutes here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And Joshy will find that song. Thanks, Joshy.
That green-colored jacket is pressed and primed for this weekend's big tournament. Some of us are having parties. You know, no big deal. It's Lake Lawn Resort Golf Week, though, here on 94.5 ESPN. Golf cart, drinks, snacks for under $15 a person. Find out more at lakelawnresort.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What operating system does a Chewy computer run on?
I believe it's a Cat 14.
It's a COS. It's a Chewy operating system.
I was thinking Windows 98.
Yeah, very similar.
It's dial-up. Let me get my modem.
Chewy. On 94.5 ESPN.